Colleagues, welcome back to the office. Welcome to our podcast for today. This is Choosing Mid-Market Accounting Solutions. I'm Steve, you're you. We're here to learn from each other about the latest and greatest accounting tech that is out there. Unfortunately, we are off today. So this is a presentation from a recent State Society conference. So I hope you enjoy. Today's class is going to be looking at mid-market accounting products. Most of us are familiar, for example, with the introductory and small business products, such as Intuit's QuickBooks Online or Xero, or some of the lower-level Sage products. These are great solutions for startup businesses, mom-and-pop shops, entrepreneurs who are just getting their feet wet with starting their own companies. But often, as our business grows, these solutions don't really grow with us. QuickBooks is great, you know, if you've got, you know, a couple hundred transactions and a couple of counts and, you know, you're looking to just balance your checkbook. But man, it doesn't really do well if you've got any major level of complexity with lots of different transactions and lots of maybe different types of inventory or point of sale or payroll or other stuff that goes into it. You know, quickly, you're going to find that there are other solutions that are probably going to better suit your needs. That's where the mid-market accounting products fit in. They're less than, for example, what you would see with an Oracle or an SAP solution, but they're more than what you would get with QuickBooks. It's a vast landscape of different products that are both cloud-based as well as on-premise. There are solutions that are for pretty much every type of vertical industry you could think of, whether you are a manufacturer, a service-oriented business, an e-commerce organization, a not-for-profit, a government agency, or more, there is a mid-market accounting solution for you to help get you over the hump of finding a solution that's going to fit the right size for your business at the right level of complexity. Now, in today's class, we're going to overview lots of the different solutions that are out there that you might want to consider. We'll look at different vertical markets. We'll also look at some of the additional ancillary tools that you're going to probably want to consider for adding to your mid-market solution. Things around for reporting, dashboarding, accounts payable, sales tax, and more. These are often in addition to whatever the accounting solution we're using provides that we'd want to know. We'll also go through a selection process criteria, questions and planning and thoughts that you're going to want to go through as you choose your mid-market solution so you get the right application for the job. So all that and more coming right up. Now, before we get started, I do want to remind you that this podcast is eligible for CPE credit. How cool is that? You know, getting credits for listening or watching podcasts, something you're probably already doing. It's super simple. After watching or listening today, head on over to cpetoday.com. You'll take a short 5-question quiz about what you learned today. It'll take you 2 minutes and you will earn a credit for today's podcast. And you'll be well on your way for maintaining that professional license with whatever it might be. So our course code again is MMA1. And after watching or listening, just head on over there and you will earn a credit. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and dive right into our material. I'll join you at the end of our presentation today. We will go ahead and do 3 quick review questions, wrap up, and get you on your way. I hope you enjoy the show. All right, so what does the current mid-market product look like? Well, I would say it's kind of split between 2 major things. There is the SaaS-based side of this, which is going to be our software as a service, cloud-based hosting organizations. And then we have our traditional on-premise and can also be hosted in the sense of like putting it into a data center like Amazon Web Services or Azure or something like that. Now, some of these solutions can go back and forth, like Acumatica, as an example, can be a SaaS-based product. It can also be hosted as well. So having that kind of flexibility with certain applications can work well. So on the SaaS side of this, we've got Acumatica, we've got Dynamics 365, Exact, and NetSuite, our Sage and Act product, our SAP products as well. And on the more traditional self-hosted or on-prem solutions, we've got Deltek, ECI, Epicor, Infor, Open Systems, and others as well. Now, as part of our mid-market products, we also have a variety of third-party solutions we should be thinking about. When we talk about the mid-market, it's kind of like going to a high-end steakhouse where you buy the steak and then you get the different pieces that you might want. You know, so if you want the baked potato, well, that's an a la carte charge, or a, you know, ear of corn would be, again, a la carte. There are a variety of third-party add-on tools that we would want to consider with respect to our mid-market solution because they're not going to come natively with that application itself. And it's going to be something that we're going to need to add in addition to the actual application that goes. So stuff, for example, around sales tax and use tax, for example, looking at solutions for reporting. You know, thankfully, we've got a lot of great options now, including solutions such as Power BI and others. Tools for rapid closing and consolidation would be great as well. Other solutions, again, we're going to want to order these things a la carte. And there are other major systems that might provide major functionality around, for example, things like HR and payroll, fixed asset, managing our accounts payable process, customer relationship, and bank feeds, and others. Now, what I will tell you with respect to the marketplace here, you should expect some growth. I would tell you that whatever you're looking at now, you should be thinking not only about today's need, but what are tomorrow's need. And when you buy one of these solutions, you should be planning on keeping it in place, I would say for about a decade, but a minimum of 5 to 7 years. Certain applications in here are going to be really expensive. And more importantly, they're going to be really difficult to implement and cause a lot of organizational stress in terms of being able to properly get set up. So just don't buy something based off price. Don't buy something just based off of the day. Expect that you're going to continue to use this system for up to 10 years. And you might choose to use it beyond 10 years as well, but you're going to make that determination at the case. Tech runs in particular cycles, and this particular cycle for this style of application, I'm going to say is about 7 to 10 years for while companies will choose to make a different decision and maybe go with a different service provider. You should also figure out your workflow. I will tell you, process with respect to the mid-market accounting solutions is so important. These applications often come like an unfitted suit where it needs to be altered and it needs to be hemmed and tailored to really kind of fit the needs of the organization effectively. Services, you know, like Dynamics 365 are excellent, but there's a lot of ambiguity about how, where, when it's used inside of an organization, and workflow and process is so very, very important. I would tell you, get it right the first time, set it up correctly, spend the time, spend the money to analyze your existing organization and its processes to properly map them into the application. I'm reminded of the phrase, and I love this phrase: we never seem to have the money to do it right the first time. However, we always seem to have the money to do it a second and a third and a fourth time. So get your processes correctly. I will tell you, when you change accounting packages, it is a fabulous time to also look at and take a hard look at your organization's business and adjust your processes as accordingly. I would tell you to set your expectations and review those selections about every 10 years or so and make sure that whatever you've got effectively meets those conditions and meets those needs. Additionally, also ask these vendors for the roadmaps. You know, what have you done? Where are you going in the future? What type of organizations are you looking to support? So let's go ahead and take a look at the market for this and take a look at where these different solutions fit and play, the size of the market, and we'll also try to understand how these different solutions work with each other. Now, again, when we talk about that SMB market, we are really kind of talking about this market right here in the middle, below enterprise and above that micro business. And it's important to understand how these solutions are both sold to customers as well as implemented to customers. At the really high end of this, it is sold directly to the end users by field salespeople. You buy SAP, guess what? They're going to send somebody to your office and talk to you about why SAP is the greatest thing since sliced bread. At your mid-market, this is typically sold by what are called VARs, or value-added resellers. VARs are subject matter experts, typically to a specific geography or maybe to a specific vertical, you know, industry. So it might be farming, and that's a guy who does the farming industry. And there could be another guy who does the chemical manufacturing and another guy who does retail. Or it could be by geography. You know, there's somebody in Southern California, somebody in Idaho, so on and so forth. The reseller model was dominant a generation ago, but a lot of these organizations, like Microsoft, for example, are tending to go more with their own staff and implementing themselves. On the low end, QuickBooks, Sage, those types of products, those are typically sold directly to consumers. No need for anybody to really kind of be involved because there's no budget to really kind of justify it. How are these solutions implemented? Well, really at the high end, again, we're talking like the SAPs, the Oracle, stuff like that. Those are going to be implemented by your Fortune 500. Fortune 500 loves other Fortune 500 companies. So if you buy SAP, I guarantee you it will be implemented by a company like Deloitte or KPMG or something like that. It can also come from a tech provider such as IBM or HP. At your mid-market here, and sorry, I know I'm a little cut off. Let me just go ahead and drop my camera here for a second. Okay, at that mid-market, it's, again, typically implemented by those value-added resellers as well as IT consultants. And they are there to essentially manage the relationship and make it work. And your low-end stuff is typically also going to be implemented by your end user. You know, bye-bye QuickBooks. The only person implementing QuickBooks is going to be the company itself. It might be the accounting firm sometimes, though, but they're not going to be an IT expert. And with those large, those small solutions, they do what they do. Now, in your middle market here, you're going to see some high-end products, some of your Epicores and even some of your SAPs, as well as some of your Oracle-based products, but they're baby versions of their enterprise solution. And often they're not even the same solution that their enterprise level is. You know, for example, the Oracle NetSuite is completely different than the Oracle that you would see running, for example, like a Verizon, for that matter. When we see SAP, you know, for that matter, it's not the same thing as the SAP at the high end that you would see running a Ford or running, you know, the U.S. Department of Treasury or something like that. Your SMB market, your major players here are going to be your companies like Acumatica, your Gravity, your Deltek, your Open Systems, and more like that. And so what this chart tells you on the left-hand side, these are solutions that are SaaS-based cloud products, typically interacted with by a browser, where you go to that particular company's login page, login, and you do everything through Chrome, Firefox, or Edge. And we also have on the right side our hosted or on-premise solutions. These are going to be solutions where they're going to have a thick client, something installed on your computer that you can interact with and pull and push data. Now, from our mainstream solutions, smaller to larger, you know, this is going to range solutions from example like Open Systems and Agent Act, Acumatica, and going down to solutions like Workday or Sage Business Cloud or Dynamics 365 and more. So there's a lot of space in here, and there's size solutions for whatever the complexity your organization might need. Now, it's important to choose, like, I mean, if we look at, for example, the mid-market here, we've got some specific recommendations in terms of where that mid-market might apply. Let's go ahead and zoom here so you can see it. You know, so for example, this SMB, small SMB side, typically that's going to be 5 to 100 employees, $1 to $50 million in revenue. And on the large side of this, which would be 500 to 2,500 employees, $250 million to $1 billion. There is a lot of space here, folks. I mean, there's a lot of space from the small to the large. I mean, going from literally $1 million to $250 million in revenue is a huge, huge jump. Even $1 million to $2 million is a huge jump. So just be aware that you could fall anywhere inside of this spectrum and you can move anywhere in this spectrum. But ideally, if you're planning for growth, you find a system that can grow with you. So you're not ripping and replacing every year because you're having explosive growth in your organization, as exciting as that sounds. So you have a lot of options with respect to this mid-market, and we should start to think about how these systems relate. And I would tell you that you should definitely look at these solutions from the context of, from a customer perspective. And I would tell you, you should pick solutions that are customer focused and how they can serve those particular customers, you know? And so if we start thinking about it in broad strokes, you know, how customers are essentially our primary focus in driving revenue to the organizations, well, how can we set ourselves up for success? And I think it kind of radiates starting from the general ledger to the greater accounting package to our operations. And if we have good accounting systems that allow us to be able to properly invoice and derive revenue from our customers and track expenses and have good financial reporting, ultimately that is going to be the intention of what we want to do. And if we have a single integrated SMB accounting package, that is going to happen easily. Now, if we compare this to what a lot of companies sadly do, it's islands of information. You know, you've got your customer systems, your operation systems, maybe you got some outsourced systems, accounting's just kind of over here doing whatever, you know, and you could have a ton of other systems besides this that kind of all kind of, you know,
live in their own individual space. Unfortunately, a lot of organizations are like this. I like to use the term they've cobbled together their enterprise systems for their company. They've cobbled together an operating system for their organization. I love building single consolidated systems. I love building systems that touch other systems and that change and interchange data without really a lot of overhead or work, because you know what? It makes things a lot faster, simpler, and easier. It reduces errors, improves customer service, and ultimately will scale with the organization much, much better. So here's some questions to ask yourself, and feel free to chat me over and send me some feedback of what it's like in your organization. And so if you are a company where your systems don't electronically connect, meaning they're not integrated, you probably have a cobbled together system, you know, where you've got silos of information and somebody is manually pushing data from one place to the other. Organizations where systems have been purchased separately or over a period of time. Hey, we need an accounting system. Hey, we need a customer system. Hey, we need an ERP system, you know, and each individual department of the company, without really kind of any consolidation or without any kind of planning, goes and buys their own devices or their own systems. Where we have systems that are controlled by departments rather than kind of by a single IT administration and oversight. If your organization had legacy systems written with custom code, that's not always a bad thing, but man, does it make it hard to make updates and upgrades in the future. Modifications made to systems that can't be updated easily is a real linchpin for a lot of organizations. And ideally, we want to be able to pull that complexity out and make things simpler and easier. Now, I would tell you, you need to think about process. I'm a process guy. I love process. I will tell you the means justify the ends. And to me, I would rather have a process be effective and work great than have a single great outcome. It's not that I don't like single great outcomes, but I love repeatable actions. And I love when things work as a system, because that tells me this will scale with the organization. I love growth. I love scalability. And I feel that process is the way that you're going to get there. Iteration of processes. I like to build something, see how I did it, and then I blow it up and I build it again because I learned something and I can make it better the second time. The third time's even better. By the fourth or fifth time, you know what? It is perfect. I have worked with a variety of tools over the years to kind of fit my exact flow, and it fits me like a glove, and it all comes through iteration and it comes through process thinking. Now, operations are more important than the financials because it is life is outside the windshield rather than life in the rearview mirror. I'm planning, I'm making objective thoughts and considerations about what the future might hold, and then willing it to happen. Okay. So solutions like customer resource management, sales tax planning, dashboards, and KPIs can be really effective for kind of making that occur. Now, automation, we need accounting too inside of accounting needs automation too. There's a lot of stuff that we're doing that is very expensive, very time consuming, that could be automated to be better. You know, there are tools, for example, around robotic process automation, RPA, tools to help automatically and quickly close our books, tools to automatically download our bank transactions and import those transactions into our financial statements and into our general ledger. Automation around our financial statements to make like reporting, administration, oversight, and governance faster, simpler, and easier. So that's kind of our survey of the market. Let's talk about some of the industry solutions that are out there. And I have these grouped into a couple of major categories. We've got our tier one systems, our tier two systems, and then kind of broken into specific companies. And as we have time available, I'll talk about, you know, some of these specific products and why you might want to consider them. Okay, so we have our tier one solutions. Our tier one solutions are big systems. They're the systems that have the most set of comprehensive functionality. They are very typically complex to implement properly. Unfortunately, I'm going to say, in my experience, I'm going to say upwards of half of enterprise products don't get implemented correctly and ultimately fail because the reseller or the consultant, or if the company is choosing to do it on their own, don't have enough planning to really kind of understand what they're doing and to properly implement it. And so just know that when you're getting into these SMB mid-market products, you know, you got to do it correctly. Otherwise, the product is just going to ultimately fail. I would tell you for the SMB product lines, whatever costs to buy the software, you should double that, because the other half of that is going to be the implementation and consulting services to get that up and running. So if you buy a mid-market product, let's say for $50,000, okay, expect to spend at least $50,000, if not $100,000, getting that product properly implemented. And that's going to be in services such as transition of your data, data migration, mapping of your data, building out of additional functionality, integration with other products inside your organization, training. Oh my gosh, training is so important, and sadly, not enough organizations do it. They'll spend 50 grand on a mid-market product and spend nothing training their staff how to use it. And then they're shocked when that product fails and they revert back to whatever they were doing just because people feel more comfortable with it. I will tell you, you can never have enough training. When you feel like you've had enough training, go and do more training until you feel like you have enough training, and then do more training after that. I constantly am learning all the different tools that we use, and trying to stay up to date is a full-time job in some respects, because if I know how to do it, I'm going to have an employee that I can teach and train, and I'm going to get better utilization out of that staff if they know how to use the software. And I can teach them how to use that. Some solutions like Oracle and SAP, they have vertical integration, meaning they can do everything top to bottom, from the manufacturing side of this to distribution, and then ultimately customer service and field service. Other tools and functions might be effective for your organization. For example, things like supply chain management, analytics, reporting might be available, and you might choose to implement them. Not all larger systems are comprehensive. For example, Workday, not a comprehensive system. It does accounting, and that's about it. Still does a great job. It's a good mid-market product, but you know, if you need, for example, payroll, you're going to have to go somewhere else. But typically, I mean, if you're at that mid-market level, you probably already have a Paychex or an ADP, or you maybe have a whole payroll department. Just bring in that information by journal entry, call it a day, and everybody will be happy. Now, our tier two systems are not nearly as complete as those tier one systems. Tier two systems still have some comprehensive ERP functionality, but they're not nearly as complete as what you would see with those tier one solutions. In this area, I would say Epicor and Infor have pretty good vertical integration, but they're not nearly as robust as what you would see with an SAP or an Oracle solution. However, it's probably, you know, 75% less expensive than what you would get with an SAP or Oracle, and probably will take a third of the amount of time to implement too. Certain other major functionalities like supply chain analytics will have to come from other parties. Those are not part of those packages themselves. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and talk about a couple of these solutions here, and then I'm going to continue through the presentation. And as time is available, I will come back and talk about some of these specific applications like Acumatica and Dynamics 365, NetSuite, and others. But I want to get through and give you the full big picture of this, of what it looks like at the mid-market level, rather than, you know, spend all of my time talking about one specific vendor product. But I do want to draw your attention to the fact that this presentation has all of these products that are highlighted here and bolded, covered in the supplemental materials. And at your own time, you might want to choose to take a look and get a little bit understanding. And I'll come back to as many as I possibly can. Now, on the manufacturing side of this, I think there are about five mid-market products worth considering. Acumatica, Dynamics 365, Epicor, Infor, and SysPro. And my two favorite by far are going to be the Dynamics 365 and Acumatica. And I would say Acumatica probably more so than Dynamics 365. It's not that Dynamics is a bad product. It's great. I just think Acumatica is easier to use, has better deployment options, and also better priced. It's flat priced, and they're not going to kill you on per user fees like you will get with Dynamics 365. So if you're looking to do manufacturing accounting, which is going to be a lot of your cost-based accounting, stuff like that, managerial accounting, I mean, these solutions are definitely going to be better suited for you than ever you would ever get from, like, for example, like a QuickBooks or a Xero. On the distribution side of this, again, Acumatica comes right up on top. Epicor comes in, Exact, Infor, NetSuite starts to come in as well as Open Systems Transverse product and SysPro. On this, I think Open Systems Transverse product, I think, is king of the distribution. And I think they do a really, really good job of creating a financial system that's going to be really good for organizations in kind of that wholesale and distribution market. Now, we have not-for-profit, okay? So, Alibi, Blackbaud, Gravity Software, Open Systems Transverse, Sage Enact, and Serenic, okay? Out of this particular group of organizations, and we're talking here like fund accounting, for example, and other things that might be in here, I would say the Sage Enact product, as well as Open Systems, their transverse product, I think are the overall strongest as of right now. On our job costing and construction products, again, I think Acumatica comes in really well. I think the Sage 100 Contractor Edition, as well as the Sage 300 Construction Edition. The difference being contractor, think small, like, you know, think about a tile and shower guy, or like a person who's doing remodels, a painter, you know, versus like, you know, a bigger organizations that managing multiple construction locations, managing real estate. I think they're going to end up better suited in that 300 product versus the 100 product, as well as Spectrum as well. In terms of our vertical integration solutions, again, Acumatica and Open Systems, I think, are leaders in this, with Field Edge also having a pretty cool solution as well. So we're going to come back and take a look at some of these solutions here in a minute, but I want to talk about some of the frequently needed third-party solutions and where some of these functions might come for you. Because again, using our steakhouse analogy here, where are we going to find our baked potato and our corn on the cob? Well, we're going to need some other third-party tools that we might want to plug in as well. So these third-party tools can often round out the functionality provided by that mid-market tool that can essentially make it a complete solution to manage the financial aspects of the organization from start to finish. Now, in the AP side of this, I got two recommendations. I personally think Bill.com, definitely the best out of this. Checkbook.io is pretty good as well, but I like Bill.com's approval and workflow process for managing AP. You know, I could essentially set up an invoice, and or a customer, or not a customer, a vendor can email me in an invoice. They could fax in an invoice. It could extract the data from that invoice and recognize that, oh, it's for office supplies. That goes to Bob, and Bob is the one who approves it. However, this invoice is for $600. And so Bob isn't the only one that needs to approve it. It needs to go to Sharon, and Sharon needs to approve it as well. I think the workflow side of that really set it apart from its other tools. And, I like the fact that they handle all the ACH transfers and bill pay, whether they be electronic or actual physical paper checks. I think it does really, really well and pretty reasonably priced. They've also got a pretty nice accounting program as well. A dark horse in this that's a relative newcomer is Melio, M-E-L-I-O. You've probably heard me mention it before, but they've got a really cool solution for managing SMB bill pay. And at the moment it's free, except for credit card payments, but, bill.com, you're going to probably pay about $50 a month. Melio doesn't do nearly as much of the routing and workflow side of it, but if you just need something to pay people and pay vendors, Melio is definitely going to be more cost effective. And in fact, I think it's a little bit easier to use for smaller companies. Now, on sales tax side of this, we've got Olivera, we've got their Sovos, as well as Thompson's OneSource and Vertex. I got to say, my two favorite solutions here are going to be Olivera and Sovos. Okay, Olivera is a really complicated and really comprehensive solution. It is not a turnkey thing. However, it is definitely the most comprehensive and is definitely the one that's going to have the best features and functions for you. And they work with you at a very detailed level to understand your products and to not only effectively determine sales tax for a specific geography, but also really kind of complicated questions around sales tax too. Like, is it taxable? If so, what's the basis of the tax? I'll give you a really weird one. You know, when we do products, sales, for example, for K2 up in Washington, the sales tax rate is based off of the paper that we use in the books. It's so weird to think about, but a company like Aloe Vera is going to essentially have the tools and resources to be able to know that and essentially set up the taxes correctly. It's intended to be integrated in with other solutions as well. So it's not something you would necessarily use on its own, but you would build it into your SMB accounting solution to kind of provide that singular little function of sales tax. On our business intelligence side and dashboard side of this, we've got Power BI, we've got Click, we got Tableau, all three great programs. However, I think you know what I'm going to say here. My favorite in this is Power BI by a long shot. I just think it's the best thing since sliced bread. And I'm always finding new and better use cases for it. But I think that using Power BI as your front-end dashboard reporting tool will provide so much insight to your organization with respect to where you're spending your money, how it's going, trends, recognizing that, but then also mashing that data up against your operational data, against your payroll data, against your HR data, whatever you might happen to be. Power BI can take that, process it, and spit out beautiful dashboards to help you make better and more effective decisions for your company. Likewise, on the reporting side, there's a couple of different tools, MicroStrategy, Paris Technologies, WebFocus. Another tool not listed on here, it's also a favorite of mine, is MyDBR, MyDBR. I've grown to love this tool. It allows you to pull and push any type of report across a database. It works with Microsoft SQL, MySQL. I love this tool and I use it a ton. It's become my kind of quick draw tool when I know I need to do some really complex reporting and I don't want to build a whole bunch of infrastructure to support it. I can do it almost right out of the gate with MyDBR. Now, on the budgeting side of this, budgeting. Oh man, you know, I mean, that is just definitely one of the more complicated processes. And unfortunately, too many organizations do their budgeting really kind of through Excel workbooks. And that's just not a really good way of doing it. I mean, version control, soliciting information, processing it, updating, versioning of budgets, man, is that hard. I will tell you the two solutions, in my opinion, would be Planning Maestro as well as Profix. I think those tools definitely have a better, more integrated, holistic approach to managing budgets, and it usually will plug in to other solutions as well. So lots of options with respect to additional tools that you might want to consider for augmenting and rounding out the functionality for your accounting solution. Let's just talk for a second about selecting your accounting solution. Okay. So choosing a mid-market accounting solution is not like going to Costco and getting a copy of QuickBooks Desktop or going to Xero.com and signing up. This is a big decision, and it's a decision that's going to have big impact. It's a decision that's going to cost you a lot of money, and it's a decision that's going to take you a lot of time. And so I think it really kind of makes sense to make that decision correctly and find something that is essentially going to work for your organization for the long run. And that's going to not only solve today's problems, but tomorrow's as well. I think it's incredibly important. Get your expectations set correctly. Realize that this accounting solution is not going to solve every single problem, nor is it going to do every single thing that you want to do absolutely perfectly, exactly the way that you want. Be flexible. Okay. Things will work differently in this new system. You're going to have to learn and train and learn how this particular system functions and operates. I will tell you to be diligent with respect to your testing and work essentially to identify proactively when an issue might pop up and how you might resolve it before throwing in the towel. I will tell you, salespeople don't know what they're talking about. You're going to get, especially at that mid-market level, typically VARs, value-added resellers. They're going to have some level of expertise, but they are salespeople at the end of the day. Do not believe the hype. Ask really detailed questions, try to talk to a sales engineer, and preferably try to talk to other clients that might be able to give you some insight on how it's worked in their organization overall. These products typically require contracts. They are not something that you just buy and that's it. They will be licensing fees that you will pay this year and as well as in future years. If you spend $100,000 in an accounting system in year one, expect to spend at least $25,000 to $35,000 in year two and in subsequent years to maintain that accounting solution. And implement it correctly. Project management. Too many projects failed just because of lack of oversight and planning. I'm going to tell you here, create a process for choosing this. You should pick a project team. You should map those individual processes out. You should maybe consider an RFQ or RFP, request for qualifications, request for proposal. Don't be tied to writing that, though. RFPs, RFQs have specific connotations about how they are designed. When I get a client that asks me to do an RFP, most of the time I say, I'm not going to do that. It's not worth my time. But also, if I do want to pursue that particular project, you know what? I'm only going to respond to the stuff in the RFQ or the RFP. That's it. It doesn't give me the opportunity to help you think big picture about what you may or may not want. And you're also going to definitely want to consider a project implementation plan. Here's what your typical big IT project would look like. You'll have a champion. Champion's the person on the inside of the organization that is going to clear roadblocks, cut through red tape. Typically, they need to be an executive, so think CFO, COO, something like that, or at least a senior director. You'll have a designated project manager. That designated project manager is going to ultimately be the one that will be managing the team, implementing the product. They're not doing a lot of the work themselves. They're mostly making sure that things are being taken care of. You'll have lots of business analysts, people who will essentially be subject matter experts in specific areas to help you understand and properly map in, for example, the payroll or the HR or the inventory management or the fixed assets, whatever it ends up being. You'll need people from IT that will represent essentially the hosting and the hardware and the operating system side of this. You'll need a solutions architect. That's someone like myself. I spend a lot of time thinking about how things should work effectively, both today and the future. I come up with plans essentially to help design databases and processes to work really well for organizations and solve those problems. What you don't want to see happen is trading one set of problems for another. You want this to work effectively and well for your organization. Now, there's a variety of selection process that goes into this, you know, and you can make this as big or as small as you need. You know your organization better than I do. Some organizations, I mean, it's death by committee. Other organizations, you know, they're shooting from the hip. Somewhere in between, you know, you don't want essentially every single tiny decision to have to go through a committee and take 10 years to be able to implement this project. But I also don't really like when clients are lone wolves or gunslingers, just kind of haphazardly making decisions, because I don't think they're giving the process enough enough to be able to work effectively. So I've got a range of things that I would tell you about how you should organize your selection process, as well as how you actually make this decision about what you're going to go with. Business needs are paramount. Understanding what and where the organization's going is absolutely critical. And I would tell you, it's going to be a compromise. You know, you're not going to get everything you want right out of the gate. As such, I would tell you, you need, for example, to prioritize what you're looking to do. Critical, absolutely show shopping must have, like things like general ledger functionality or accrual-based accounting or fixed asset management, if that might need to be. You might have some features that are nice to have, but not necessarily need to be in that package. Payroll is a good example of this. You know, if your company's not doing payroll in-house and you're using a service like ADP or Paychex, do you really care if your accounting solution doesn't have that? You're probably bringing it in through journal entry to begin with, or maybe the payroll company will just give you a file that you can import in that will create the necessary entries for you. You're also going to have stuff part of your new system that you maybe don't want to lose. Maybe it's critical reports, you know, for example, critical ARAP stuff that might be really, really useful for how you manage your receivables or payables. You should also think about a budget and timeline. And this is the thing everybody hems and haws about. And almost everybody has sticker shock when you start telling them what it's going to cost, how long it's going to take. I'm telling you right now, this is not a month-long thing. This is typically a couple of months at the minimum and could be a year or longer, depending on the complexity of what your particular project is requiring. It will always cost more than what you expect. That's why I'm saying, if you think it's going to be $50,000 in software, just budget $100 and you won't be disappointed. A comment has come in. Okay. One great place to start your research on software products like this is G2.com. Very well organized, lots of user reviews. Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm also going to point in another really great place to start your research is also with K2. I can tell you that we have a ton of resources, and my good friend and colleague Randy Johnston is by far the most knowledgeable person on this topic that I know. And he runs this website, Accounting Software World, where you can actually read detailed analysis and reviews, completely objective. There's no lead generation. There's no monetization. We provide this as a public service to the K2 world and our wonderful, wonderful attendees. All the products that I'm talking about that are listed in this presentation, you can read right inside of here and read detailed reviews about, like, Acumatica, for example, and all the different things that it does and why you might want to consider it. Another comment that came in here, another one to mention would be Vela as well as Sage and Act for budget and planning. Great options. Thank you for sharing that. And I agree, those are both really good tools. And if you come over here to, again, Accounting Software World, you can break down all the different solutions as well as verticals with respect to specific features and functions that you might want to use for providing kind of those niche functionalities for things like sales tax compliance or budgeting or something else like that. So there's a couple K2 websites. The accountingsoftwareworld.com is one of them. Another one is CPA Firm Technology. That's also a really good solution and breaks down a lot of these specific accounting and CPA firm tools that might also be really helpful for your organization as well. Okay, so what should we avoid when we're choosing our accounting solution? I will tell you, avoid going immediately to vendors. Do some research. That G2.com, as mentioned, or accountingsoftwareworld.com. I will tell you, I always like to walk in to into this situation knowing what I want and knowing where I can find it and knowing and having good questions to ask. Avoid working just with suppliers because they're local. A good example of this is, again, Randy Johnston and his company, NMGI, Network Management Group. Randy's the most knowledgeable person on this topic that I know, and I've worked with him for years. He's based out of Hutchinson, Kansas, and I can tell you they work nationwide, and I'd have no problem recommending a company based in Maine or Florida or California working with a company in Kansas. Just because they're in your hometown does not make them qualified. I would tell you to talk with your colleagues, talk with other businesses in your industry, and find where the experts are and talk to them directly. Avoid choosing just big brand names because they're safe. You know, the old adage, nobody got fired for buying IBM. There's some truth to that, but, you know, I will tell you there are other solutions like Open Systems or like Enact or like, for example, Acumatica and others that you might not have heard of that offer really compelling functionality that are very widely used. It's just, you know, they don't have the brand name of like IBM or a Microsoft or an Intuit for that matter. And don't be afraid to go out and do something different. Just because your competitors are using it doesn't mean you have to. I spent a lot of my time helping other organizations pick software and making it work the way they want it to work rather than shoehorning functionality into a specific application and a specific data set. I will tell you, when you're choosing these solutions, run your own numbers, your own budget, and come up with your own timeline of what's effective for you. A good friend of mine once told me that projects are like gas. They will expand to fill the space allowed. Having your own objective ideas about what something should cost and the time it should take are really valuable and will probably save you money overall. Okay, and also avoid any solution where you don't know how to get out, whether they be what it's going to cost coming out or what it's going to cost to get your data back. And that can be really difficult. And you don't want to find that out 5 years into a program only to find out that in order to be able to leave, you got to manually, you know, key in your data into whatever system you're transitioning to. So there are risks both at the system level and at the employee level. Big system risks are going to be things like, how do I get out of my existing platform and move over? How am I going to integrate third-party products and tools? All the way down to, how do we do it cheaply? You know, I know every organization wants to save money. That's totally a valid and reasonable concern. But if you're buying something for 10 years, buy it for life. Make sure it's going to work the way you want, because getting a cheap solution, spending a bunch of time and effort getting involved only to find out after what I call a rip and replace, holy smokes, I mean, that's when you really start getting expensive. You know, we never seem to have the money to do it right the first time, but we always seem to have money to do it right the second and third time. A lot of that comes from just not wanting to do it right the first time and wanting to focus on doing it cheap. People issues, politics, big one. I mean, people will always have their own opinion essentially for what should and should not be done. And I will tell you, it all matters about management and that tone at the top. You need to have that leadership, that champion, that person who's essentially going to effectively advocate for this project and support this project from top to bottom. That's so very, very important for you. And getting that buy-in at the employee level and getting people to actually do this work is really important. What you don't want to see happen is that people get complacent and management doesn't enforce this and letting them roll back to that old system. That's only going to cause you more issues later on. Now, I will also say trying to move too fast or too slow. I tend to want to move fast. However, I am cognizant of institutional buy-in and I'm cognizant of institutional let's just say lagging ability to implement change. You don't want to beat people over the head with this, but you need to find the right pace of organizational change for the company. And there's a whole field of study around change management and how to do this effectively. And I will also tell you, you need to get the right people involved. People who are going to advocate, who have good technical knowledge, that have good expertise, that can make good decisions and that can advocate for this project are going to be really, really, really helpful. Okay. Let's go ahead and jump ahead here just a little bit. And we're coming ahead to the end of our presentation. And I want to give you a little bit more insight in terms of other things that you might want to consider with respect to finding your product fit. Okay. Now, finding the right product can be a lot of work, but it is well worth the effort because, again, this is going to be something that we're going to have in place for the next, I don't know, hopefully 10 years and beyond. And I would tell you, try to find something that's going to be a good fit, not only for your organization, but also within the industry itself. You don't necessarily always have to do what other people are doing, but at least having something that's optimized for your industry is going to be really helpful. A good example of this would be if you're in the not-for-profit space and you have fund accounting or in government, in same thing, you know, kind of using fund accounting. You know, a solution like QuickBooks is never going to work for you, as well as a lot of the other solutions, because fundamentally it isn't optimized for that industry. You should be working to essentially understand how your organization is going to fit within the context of the application. Do not try to, make the application fit to your company, because that's a recipe for disaster. Good applications, for example, will have a variety of extendable capabilities that allow it to be modified to fit a wide variety of different organizations, but there are just some fundamental things that it's designed to do or not do. Okay, so understanding what those are and finding a good fit for your organization would be a really, really good way of approaching that project. Now, you should also start making determinations about where the data is going to live in the functionality. You know, are you looking for something premise that's hosted for you? Or are you looking for something that's more of a cloud browser-based, app-based approach? Both of these have validity in terms of what you're looking for. Some solutions will be able to be offered in both environments and giving you the flexibility of being able to choose what you want. Other systems, especially, you know, the larger solutions like SAP, well, those are going to be on-premise only, versus, for example, Acumatica, which can go in both, or, you know, for example, like some of the Sage products, which are going to be cloud only. I would tell you to think about scalability. Is this going to work for you today? What happens if you grow? What happens if you triple in size or quadruple in size? Will this solution still work for you? I would start to think about, for example, the total cost of ownership besides, for example, just the acquisition costs. What are the ongoing maintenance requirements, the upgrades? What other licenses you're going to need as well? What type of integration are you going to look to push this to? Now, on the SaaS side of this, these are questions that you probably would want to ask the provider, you know, like, where's my data located? What happens if you go out of business? Can I get a copy of the code essentially to manage my project? Where in what capacities, for example, are you connected to other systems that could potentially present a data breach for my organization that I might want to consider? Now, ultimately, you're going to want to create an implementation plan. The implementation plan, this is where the devil is in the details. And I would tell you that thinking through from start to finish, essentially how this is going to be implemented in your organization is going to be really, really, really important. As I mentioned before, abnormal number of project plans at the enterprise level and at the SMB level fail just due to poor implementation. And it results in the company kind of reverting back to their old ways. In the time that I have been a professional software developer, I've been a part of, I'm going to say, at least two or three major multi-million dollar projects that have failed for one reason or the other. In some instances, for example, the company went with a solution that was clearly not designed to fit their particular needs. They spent a whole year of development and time and effort trying to get it to work, only to say and throw up their hands and say, this isn't going to work. And I've also been in part of plans, for example, where the company picked a solution that was so large and so complex and so convoluted, but never bothered to properly train their staff on this new, more complex solution. You know, it's actually kind of sad. They spent all this money. They got to the end of the project. They were short some cash, so they eliminated the training budget, which is, again, I don't know why you would do something like that, but you know, it's like cutting off your nose to spite your face. So I would tell you, you know, you want to try to right size the solution for what you need, but really kind of come up with a good comprehensive plan to get this solution in place. One of my favorite things to do is to break the implementation up into phases. There's a phrase I love. How do you eat an elephant? Well, one bite at a time. Well, by breaking this up into different phases, you essentially can augment your risk, implement this in an ongoing basis, allow people to kind of get trained up. You get those quick wins and you can implement this over a longer period of time, allowing for a larger, to allow people to adjust accordingly. So think about how can you segment this to not only for being able to show demonstrable wins with this, but then also to maybe help offset cost and adjust timeline accordingly. You're going to want to create that schedule to support that phased approach. You're definitely going to want to spend time to configure the system correctly, you know, especially if it's a more, let's say, off the shelf type package. You're going to want to spend time going through the settings of the application and getting all, like, for example, the templates and the headers and the security for the different roles and users properly configured and set up. You're definitely going to want to test this. This is something that unfortunately does not get done enough. You're going to want to implement this solution, but prior to getting your users on it, you should have one or multiple dry runs where essentially you look at the data that was moved and then ensure that it's meeting the qualifications and properly configured and set up. Ultimately training your users, ultimately going live, and then realize it's a process and that in the future you will be moving and upgrading and updating it as subsequent changes are being made. So always planning for that kind of success is a great method for management of that risk.
Colleagues, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed today's presentation on choosing a mid-market accounting solution. Lots of great options out there, lots of things for you to consider. I'm sure you've got your sights set on a solution that will work effectively for your organization. Let's go ahead and have three quick review questions, then we'll wrap up for the day. Our first review question, what makes a product mid-market? Is it capabilities? You betcha. Is it included features like workflow and other advanced features like that as well? Absolutely. Is it the ability to scale to a larger user count? Absolutely. All of those are things that we would expect to find in a mid-market accounting solution to help us get over the gap of what we would find in a more introductory, simple product that we might find for a startup company or a small local businesses. Let's go ahead and take a look at our next question. Which of the following statements is true for third-party solutions? So what will we want for other tools in addition to our accounting product that might add on or enhance the features and functions that would come with that mid-market solution? Do these third-party solutions address a specific function? Absolutely. Sales tax, inventory, something like that. Typically, when we see these add-on solutions, they're addressing a specific need and a specific want of the company. Accounting solutions frequently need third party. Yes, typically your mid-market is like going to an a la carte steakhouse where you buy the steak, you get the mashed potatoes, you get the asparagus, but you order each individually and then you focus on, you know, enjoying your meal. But in the mid-market accounting solution, in choosing this, you'd focus on integration between those solutions. But often you're going to need to augment your solution with these additional tools. Okay. Features like sales tax are complex that really a third-party solution is needed. Absolutely. You know, trying to get a jack-of-all-trades solutions, a unicorn product, just doesn't exist. Finding specialized functionality and letting it be specialized and focus on the integration between it will be the better solution than trying to find, again, a solution that will integrate everything into one package. At that mid-market, you want specialized functionality. All right, our third question. Which of the following statements is true for implementation? Is it project management is needed? You betcha. Unfortunately, I've been a part of way too many projects throughout my career where, you know, the client went on their own or they didn't properly plan the project and it fell apart either at the beginning, the middle, or the end, and it could have been avoided by having good project management. Testing and training should be major requirements. Absolutely. Absolutely essential for the success of the project. People should be trained and it should be tested before putting into production. A good implementation team can optimize the solution to fit most business needs. You betcha. When it comes to implementing a mid-market solution, the implementation's as critical as the application itself. So hopefully this gives you some insight with respect to the mid-market accounting products that are out there and some different choices that you might have for your organization. So today we learned about SaaS products that are coming to age and the functionality that is coming with it. And overall, these SaaS-based solutions are improving. We looked at a lot of the different legacy solutions, both that are on-prem and cloud as well, and some of the major features and functions that come with it. We also looked at, for example, some of the pricing and some of the major implementation, you know, components as we build our own budget and plan for this that we might want to consider. We also looked at the overall selection process of different major steps in this stage and for this project that you should account for and plan for. We looked at a variety of third-party tools and solutions to augment the functionality provided by that accounting solution. And in general, I gave you a bunch of different tips and tricks on how choosing the solution can be successful for your company. Now, I do want to remind you that if you're a financial professional, you can earn a credit, a CPE credit, for this podcast that you just listened to or watched. After watching or listening, head on over to our website, cpetoday.com. Use course code MMA1. Complete a 5-question quiz, and you will earn a credit for today's class. The whole process will take you 2 minutes, and you'll be well on your way to maintaining your license. So check us out again, cpetoday.com. If you enjoyed our material, and I hope you did, please consider following us on social media. You can find us on all social media platforms, and most of the time you can find us as CPE Today. You can subscribe on YouTube as well as follow us on Facebook to also watch our live show, which is broadcast twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific. And it's your chance to even engage and ask questions. Now, if you can't watch live, remember you can always listen or watch after the fact on pretty much any podcast platform and wherever you happen to get your content, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you like our content, please consider subscribing or leave us a review and let us know what you think. It's a pleasure being with you always. Thank you so much for your time and attention, and I look forward to seeing you back in the office the next time around. Good luck.